This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Ever since Tropical Storm Irene closed the Vermont State Hospital, the long wait times for people seeking inpatient critical mental health care has been in the news. VPR's investigative reporter Emily Corwin has been looking at what's new with patients still waiting days in emergency departments. She focused her reporting on two areas: the challenges caring for children and adolescents with severe and acute mental health needs, and the reasons why the state is being sued about how it deals with emergency care for those who are admitted for treatment against their will. We're going to spend some time now talking particularly about what happens to children who are needing acute and emergency mental health care. Emily Corwin, nice to have you back on the show.
Nice to be here.
So why did you start reporting on this issue, specifically looking at children and adolescents in emergency departments?
Honestly, a mutual friend put me in touch with a mom named Maggie. We're using first names in this story to protect children's privacy. So Maggie's daughter is 12 years old, and she had gone to the ER in acute psychiatric distress and spent 30 hours there waiting, which actually is below average, for a bed somewhere else. She ultimately went to the Brattleboro retreat. And Maggie was really upset about what happened when her daughter was in the ER, what kind of care she received or really honestly didn't receive. And the thing that's interesting about Maggie is she's a doctor at UVM Medical Center. She's a family medicine resident. And so to have a doctor at UVM tell me something's really wrong here, it piqued my interest.
Well, so, I mean, it's interesting because when we talk about this, emergency departments, it's well known, are not the places to get the best mental health care. So it's not that anybody like Maggie is expecting somebody to get the best and most targeted mental health treatment in that setting. So, but the problem is the length of stay that these young people are experiencing.
Well, I think we know as a community at this point that adults and children are spending days waiting for placement. And, you know, the numbers are that, you know, in the last year, 73 kids waited an average of 3.5 days at UVM's ER. And this has been going on for years. It's a little worse this year than last year, but also it's not as bad as it was 5 years ago. So, you know, we know this is a problem. And so the question isn't, you know, that I'm asking isn't what is the best ideal solution? How do we solve the big picture structural systemic problems? I'm asking, you know, this is a state-of-the-art teaching hospital, and they have a need. There are kids coming in, spending days in the ER with needs. And so I'm asking, what is the hospital doing to meet those immediate needs?
Right, because if a hospital knows that it's going to have these patients for long times because of those big structural deficiencies in the system,
right,
they still have an obligation to provide care for these patients, especially for children. So what kind of care do they receive while they're in the emergency department?
So they right now, what happens when children go to the ER is they will be evaluated by a doctor. The hospital told me that, you know, this would be a psychiatrist and that they would be seen by a psychiatrist every day that they were there. The patients and the parents I talked to, rather, I mean to say, the pediatricians I talked to and the parents of patients said that's not the case. They are not seeing a psychiatrist every day. So that's one level. And then the second level is that they're not really ever seeing a child psychiatrist. I take that back. They will rarely but occasionally have a child psychiatrist who's on rotation in the ER, but it is quite infrequent. And so the expectation that kids are receiving specialized care to their particular needs, that's very rarely happening.
You have some quotes from people that you talked to for your stories about this. Let's hear first from the hospital. What are you going to set up for us?
Right. So the hospital gave me the chief medical officer, Isabelle Desjardins, and also the chair of psychiatry there. And Isabelle Desjardins, you know, told me what she thinks is happening in the ER.
Psychiatrists do provide evaluations twice a day where they engage in with the patients and the families in the emergency department, and so do the first call clinician.
You're telling me that a psychiatrist interacts with the family and the patient twice a day every day?
There is an expectation for a psychiatrist who works in the emergency department to evaluate the patient on a daily basis.
Now, Emily, that sounds very different from what you told me you're finding and hearing from parents and from pediatricians. She's saying they are seeing psychiatrists.
Twice a day, she said. And I mean, I can say, you know, anecdotally from the people I talk to, that's not happening. One mother we talked to gave me, I went over her child's medical history with her family provider who had all of the information. Out of 17 days she spent in the ER, she saw a psychiatrist on 5 days. And so it's just, it's not lining up. And we have a bite from that woman named Jennifer, another mother.
It's being placed in a holding tank where it's, for my daughter, she's hurting. And yet you can't escape that. There's nobody to help create that pathway to that higher level of care. And so I don't know how to shift the system, but I know our kids and our families with mental health needs deserve it.
So there's this mother saying this is not happening, and you have the chief medical officer for the hospital saying it is happening. So, you know, what's the next step then, Emily? I mean, if the hospital doesn't agree fundamentally with what you're hearing from parents and from other medical providers, is there an avenue for making changes?
Well, I will say that the day that I had this interview with leadership at the hospital, they announced, and I think this was the first time they really told anyone, that they are planning to hire a child psychiatrist to do inpatient and emergency room work. That's great. The concern, of course, is that there is a shortage of child psychiatrists, and they have said that they would hire fellows to do this and have struggled to do that in the past. And so I think the question is, you know, how hard are they going to work to make that happen? And you know, I certainly am not saying that I don't think it will.
We got a note from Dr. David Ratu, who's a child psychologist at UVM, a child psychiatrist. And he pointed out, he really took umbrage with some of your reporting and said, look, we're working hard and you seem to be throwing us under the bus, was his phrase. And his email to us today said, speaking only as one of 11 child psychiatrists called out in Ms. Corwin's article, let me explain why I found the piece to be so unhelpful. Nobody disputes the fact that the increasing numbers of kids presenting to emergency departments in mental health crisis is a difficult and heartbreaking issue. But this article seems designed to sow division and assign blame rather than solve problems. Astonishingly, it focuses exclusively on perhaps the only piece of the problem that's likely to be fixed in a matter of months. What about all the emergency rooms across the state that don't even have a child psychiatrist on staff? How can we work upstream to reduce the incidence of these crises from the start? Are there things that could increase our inpatient hospital capacity so that kids don't have to wait so long? Good and intelligent people are working on these vexing problems as we speak, but this article has impeded rather than facilitated that process. How do you respond?
Well, first of all, I hate to think that the article has impeded a process. Really, I do what I do and we do what we do in order to shine a light on things that are not going well so that they can be improved. And I hope that when people hear criticism from the press, that they see it as an opportunity to hear from the community, to hear from the people who are using their services, and to take that feedback and to try to do the best that they possibly can. I've heard the feedback also that, you know, that UVM Medical Center is focusing upstream on outpatient care. And I think, you know, that UVM's child psych staff are renowned for their outpatient work. I do think, you know, talking to the parents of these children who end up in the ER, they have incredible, in Chittenden County at least, they have incredible wraparound care outside of the ER. You know, they have social workers in the home every single day, one-on-one assistance in the schools. They have social workers coming and doing activities out in the community with it. They have just, you know, pretty extraordinary access, often through the Howard Center in Chittenden County. And still their kids at times have these acute needs. And I think, you know, the bottom line is, like, kids are in the ER waiting for days, sometimes weeks, for a hospital. What are you doing today? And that is not to say that you aren't doing incredibly important things in the long term. And I'm glad about that. But, you know, it's my job to look for ways to keep everyone in our community accountable, and that's what this is doing.
Interestingly to me, in reading both the criticism from Dr. Ratu and reading your reporting, Emily, is that they're not necessarily in opposition to one another. They're not mutually exclusive. There can be psychiatrists who are coming in to the emergency department who are doing good work, but your reporting suggests there's not enough of it, and it's not being done consistently for all of the, for example, 73 children who spend an average of 3.5 days in the UVM emergency department. So these two things are not mutually exclusive either.
That's right. And I mean, honestly, the second story that I did, I think provides, I mean, I'm not the expert here, but an incredible pathway towards solving some of the problem at UVM's emergency room. And this story is about a psychiatric unit in Plattsburgh, which UVM Medical Center has assisted, not in like direct funding, but in an effort through the chair of the psych department in Burlington to hire 4 additional child psychiatrists, which has allowed this child psych unit in Plattsburgh to open 6 more beds, which had been closed because of staffing. And yet over the
last... Specifically for children.
For children in psychiatric distress. And yet over the last year, of the 151 kids who have used these beds, only 7 were from Vermont, and even fewer were from Chittenden County, even though this hospital is 45 minutes from Burlington. And that's when...
And compare that to something like the Brattleboro Retreat, which is a couple hours
exactly.
south of Burlington.
Exactly. It's a third the distance.
Which is another place that that young people are treated for psychiatric conditions when they need inpatient treatment.
That's right. It's the only place for acute care in Vermont. And so, you know, when I asked, like, why are Vermont kids not using this unit, the answers were murky. There's, you know, some explanation why involuntary kids are not going there that makes sense. But 80% of kids are voluntary psych patients. And so I think, you know, greasing those wheels and smoothing that system over so that Vermont kids can get care in Plattsburgh, I mean, that is a way forward.
The involuntary situation is because of crossing state lines? Like,
that's right.
That's a problem?
It's basically, like, a kid who's been deemed by the state to be involuntary when they cross the state line are no longer, like, you know, really in the custody of anybody, and so you can't force them to get care there.
But it's that question of why aren't more children who are being voluntarily admitted being
That's
able
right.
and managing? And you think that might change?
It certainly, I didn't hear any reasons why it couldn't change. Certainly, I understand the intent of the fellow who's running that program. His intent is to serve Vermont kids. And so I think if there's a will with this one, there's probably a way.
Now, Emily, you also did some reporting looking at a lawsuit filed against the state saying that this whole issue that we've been talking about with people who need acute and emergency psychiatric care, but then are waiting in emergency departments to get the care they need. There's a lawsuit saying for those who are admitted involuntarily against their will that this is unconstitutional how long they're waiting to get adequate care. What's that all about?
That's right. This is something I came upon in this reporting that's fascinating. It's actually many people in being, you know, when the state says we would like to hold you involuntarily for hospitalization for treatment, you need treatment. And even though you don't want it, we think you need it. So we're going to try to make you get it. They are now able to file a motion to dismiss saying, because I have to wait in the ER for so long to get treatment, it's actually unconstitutional for you to detain me there because your ability to hold me has everything to do with my getting treatment. And if you can't give me that treatment and you're not giving me that treatment in the ER, then you can't hold me. And what the lawyer who's doing this on behalf of his clients has told me is that this, you know, the state may argue with this, but he believes it seems to have the effect of getting people a bed pretty quickly. And then the motions sort of sizzle, they're moot. And so it's never, you know, gone to the Supreme Court. But because of some precedent in Washington state that's relatively recent, he thinks that his arguments have a chance if they do.
And this is Jack McCullough.
That's right.
Emily Corwin is VPR's investigative reporter, and you can read and hear all of her stories on these issues at vpr.org. Emily, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thanks, Jane.